We have a quorum, we have all members, and I will call this meeting of Budget and Finance, this early meeting of Budget and Finance Committee to order. And it's early because Treasurer Sanson is going to give us a nice presentation and a training on county budgeting. I thought it'd be a good idea for this committee at least, and then for any of the other quorum court members to have a good level set on how we budget, how we look at that, maybe not how we budget, but how the budget works and how county accounting works and all this other good stuff that Scott is going to explain. So I'm going to hand it over to Scott, and then I think he'll do some stuff, and then we can ask all sorts of questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want y'all to interrupt me anytime that you don't understand or want further explanation about something, okay? That's the number one thing. This is a conversation and not a presentation from us.
And like I said, I want to make sure that the other justices know that they are part of the conversation as well.
Absolutely.
They don't have to be sitting at the table to be a part of this conversation.
Before we get started, I want you to write down a place to go and look. And I've got a paper copy of it. I didn't bring it. But on the AAC website, which is arcounties.org, under publications, you'll have to kind of scroll a couple pages. But what we're going to look for is the 2019 County Financial Management System Manual. This is a manual put together by Lay Audit so that all counties are use the same fund numbers, the same revenue codes, same expenditure codes, and do their county in a fashion that's very similar, if not the same. We do have some leeway on some things that we can do as the counties that maybe not all counties do, but some people call it revival. I mean, there's things that it's not good news, so I can't quite go that far. But it does a lot of, it was put, it's arkansascounties.org. Yeah, and I'm sorry, arcounties.org. The site is for the Association of Arkansas Counties, and it's under publication directory or something. Let's see, your publication library, yes. And like I said, you'll have to scroll a little bit because the latest update is 2019. But you can look through it. It explains a lot. It tells us what agency funds we have and why we have them and what the statute is and what the revenue codes and what goes in and what they pay for. You can read through that, and then we can talk for another 2 hours on that. But we're going to do a very brief overview kind of today of fund accounting, revenues, kind of how we put things together, what you can and can't do kind of as a quorum court. And what to look for when you're looking at ordinances and that type of thing. So we're going to go, as you know, county government is a fund accounting system. It's a little bit different than a four. It's a nonprofit governmental fund accounting system. When I say fund accounting, certain monies go to certain funds can only be spent on certain things. Just because we see we've got an abundance in road funding or a big carryover doesn't necessarily we can move that and pay for a county ballpark. Okay, there are certain stipulations on certain funds that what you can and can't do. So we're just going to go into our budget book here, and we are not looking at the same budget book, so we will not probably be looking at the same thing all the time. If you see something different, I'll pass mine around and kind of show you what I'm looking at. So pretty much the table of contents, and as you see there on the very first page, you're going to look at different funds, and anything that starts with a 1 is considered county general money, okay? So that money, county general money can be spent on anything that the quorum court wishes. We have been segmented into different funds to kind of let us know what is, what's where, more or less. So I'm just going to kind of go through some of these, or some of the ones we use a lot or you hear a lot of. County General, of course, this is the fund in which we're going to do most of our work in County General. This is the fund that has the most departments. And so, not to get ahead of myself here again, but a fund can have multiple departments, not necessarily. They have one, the revenue comes into the fund, and then you as a quorum court decide how much each department gets to spend and how they spend it, okay? Like I said, County General has probably, I don't know, we'll look through it in a minute, but I think about 10 or 15 different departments in it. And that's where you're going to see, especially during the budgeted process, that's where most of the work will go in. Funds that have one department in it, that means only one department can spend from it, nobody else can. There's not a lot of debate there when it comes to how the spending is going to go, because you're not having to make decisions and prioritize one thing over another. Okay. So AC County General Fund 1000, this is the fund we use for day-to-day operations. Health insurance is a fund in which we are, just to explain it real quickly, we are quasi self-insured health insurance wise. We pay a claim. We have an actuary, and Tom Anderson can explain this better than I can. We have an actuary that tells us roughly how much it's going to cost us in claims, and then kind of a stop loss or a max loss. We currently pay roughly $10,000 per employee out of each department that goes into this fund, and then the insurance claims come out of this fund. This fund holds a balance. Some years we have a lot of expenditures out of this fund. Some years aren't so bad. I think Tom said like one every 3 years is really a bad year. So we've got a pretty good balance in this fund, but we know we've got a bad year coming because we've got a couple of good ones. So CARES Act money, that's money that comes in with CARES Act. It can be spent any way that you want to, but we have to account for it separately than other funds. Commissary is a pass-through fund, that's used by the jail. It essentially has $50,000 in it, plus whatever inventory they have. And in theory, at the end of the year, it'll have $50,000 and whatever inventory, plus whatever inventory is in it. Do I see confusion anywhere there? Essentially, what they do is use that money to buy goods, and when they sell those goods, the cost of goods sold go back into that fund and profits go somewhere else. Okay? So we just watch that just to make sure that that kind of stays level, that it doesn't grow too much, doesn't fall too much. $50,000 in there is just an arbitrary number that we started with.
Where do the profits go?
Into a sheriff's fund outside of County General. And I would rather the sheriff's department talk about that, and I don't see that.
That's right.
But we can get into that deeper some other time. I don't have all that information right now.
Not all funds in the county government are appropriated by Quorum Court. There are a few funds that are not. And that is one of those funds. That is
right. And those funds are not held in the county treasury. Those funds are written to a bank account outside of county treasury. Sheriff, I believe, has about five of those funds. Collector has a fund or two in which they collect money into those funds and then write us a check once a month. County clerk has the same. Circuit clerk has the same. It was all their monthly collections come into their account, and then they write a check off this. Sheriff's a little bit different because they do hold monies that they're not turning over to us outside of our treasury on some of those. County General Apportioned is a fund that we started just a few years ago. Essentially, it is the county treasurer's office expense, the collector's office expense, the assessor's office expense, the civil attorney's office expense, and EQ board office expense. All of these expenses are paid back by some other funding at the end of the year. This, once again, is a pass-through fund. So, say for collector's office expense, that money is paid back through collector's commissions at the end of the year. So it's paid back dime for dime, dollar for dollar, however you want to say it. Treasurers, I get paid back through my office expenses, get paid back through Treasurer's Commission at the end of the year. So those should start the year at zero, should end the year at zero, theoretically. But we did that because of in the budgeting process, it's just a lot easier to show. Let's see here. Capital Improvement Fund is a fund we started after we paid off the Criminal Justice Building a few years ago. We were paying $1 million to that towards a loan. After that loan was paid for, we then started moving $1 million over into a capital improvement fund. I believe there's about $4.2 million in that. Then we start getting into agency funds or special revenue funds. County Road, of course, is the biggest fund like that. That's 2,000. Then they added another 2003, which is also a road fund. Anything that starts with 2,000 is a road fund. 2003 was added by Governor Hutchinson about 2 years, maybe 3 years ago, when he added the additional motor fuel tax. He wanted to track that through a fund, so we added another fund there. Then you have Treasurer's Automation Fund. Treasurer's Automation is We get 2% commissions on all receipts. If it's a school, we get 0.25%. Then of that commissions, 10% of that can go over into a Treasurer's Automation Fund. Same way with collector's commission. They get 4% commissions on taxes collected, and they can turn over 10% of that into their automation fund. Then as you go on down, County Recorder's Cost Fund, this is where your circuit clerk is going to pay all of her costs out of. They switched that over last year, moved it over from a county general fund. They're revenueing enough money into the County Recorder's Cost Fund now that all of their appropriation comes out of that. If you're going down to 3008, that's County Library. That's funded by a 1 mil. John, 1 mil tax on that funds the county library?
Say yes, 1 mil.
1 mil tax funds that, and they are in a fund all by themselves. Property reappraisal is another one of these pass-through funds that I'm not going to go into, but I can speak on it later if somebody has a question on that. Then you get down here into child support and drug control breathalyzer, jail operations and maintenance, criminal detention center. That's all jail funds. When upon arrests or convictions, that those get funded that way, and that helps operate our jail. 911 PSAP is 3020. This is where you're going to see your 911 and your 911 fees got reworked about 2 years ago, and now pretty much all of our 911 expenses come out of 3020. I won't skip down just for time. When we get down into, let's see here. I just want you to notice one thing here, American Rescue Plan 3046, and that's probably not going to be on your older funds, on your older books. 3046 is that American Rescue Plan. We've all talked about American Rescue Plan. I think everybody knows what American Rescue Plan is. It was $24 million from the federal government, in which there's some stipulations on how we do spend most of that money, and I think y'all been working through most of that. Then when you get to the 3400 series, these are special revenue funds of which we, the county, has created, okay? Emergency Squad Museum, I'm gonna flip over here. Animal Welfare and Control are all funds that are supported by a volunteer tax. And there's two more, and they are this Soil Conservation, that's 3413. And extension 3414, and those may not be on older books because those were just created a couple years ago. Those are all funds that are funded through voluntary tax. Okay? A couple other funds that we created in the county up to note is County Road Sales Tax Fund 3402 and Criminal Justice Sales Tax 3407. Okay? Those two funds are funded by the half-cent sales tax, and you'll hear me talk about sales tax numbers every month. And it's 3402 and 3407. I believe the estimate, I think we revenued $13.2 million that split between those two funds last year, and we're projecting $13 million this year, so we're projecting $6.5 million into those funds this next year. When you get down, there's some FEMA flood pass-through stuff, but when you get to the 3500 series, that's going to be all grant. From there on down is grant funds. Anything that starts with the 35 is a grant fund. On the next page of the table of contents, you're going to see departments. And in these departments, you're going to notice that you'll have 100 series, which is essentially county general. Your 400 series are courts and sheriff and jail and that thing. And I can't remember what they call all that stuff. It's in that book I was telling you about. And you'll see that the when you're looking at it, the fund code are the first four numbers, dot, and the department code is after that. So in Fund 1000, Department 0100 is county judge. Does that make sense when you're reading across?
Okay.
Yeah, my book's not going to be exactly the same, but it should, like, right? Yeah, yours starts over there. Okay. Fund 1000, Department 101 is county clerk. you have a question?
Oh, yeah.
Just, okay. And so we're going to flip over from those, and you can look through those. The next portion I want to show you is the projection sheet, and that starts right here. The first thing that you're going to see, it should look like this. Okay? And I'm not going to go through all of these, but I'm just going to kind of show you. County General is a good place of explanation because it's got a lot of stuff in it. So what we're going to do is you're going to have an estimated fund balance. And what I do in October the year before is I take what the last 3 months I estimate that the revenue is going to be, and then I'll also estimate the expense until we get to what we hope is going to be close to what the fund balance is. It's never right, but it's going to get us close. So we'll take that that rollover balance, and then I'll project revenue for the next year, and you'll see the different revenue series there. We'll kind of go through revenue series here in a little bit, but you'll see the different revenue series, and I'll have a total projected revenue. I take out the 2% commissions to get a net projected revenue. And then our 8,800 series are transfers in. So that's monies that we're expecting. We don't like to do a lot of transfers, but sometimes it's necessary, whether for last, we've got some of this fixed, but like the cost grant was coming in, and we always get the circuit court automation and juvenile jail grant. But the transfers in plus the net revenue gets us to a total projected revenue. And then there below that, you see the $1 million that we transfer out to the 1810, the capital improvement fund. Okay? And that gets us total funds available. Now, state statute says that we must withhold 10%. This court has decided over the years that let's withhold 12%. Now, that's up to this court to decide. You can withhold 25% if you want to. That's y'all's decision.
So when you say total funds available, that's still estimated.
That's estimated. It's all estimates, but you know the projections. But yes, that's an. I'm using an estimated carryover. Okay.
Justice Coates, on that topic, and Scott, if I'm derailing too much, proposed ordinance 23-09 tonight.
And we'll get to that in just one second.
There you go.
And I'm not going to leave that out. I promise.
Yeah. All right.
So you would have roughly $1.9 million withheld, and then so we come off and take the. Total funds available less the recommended fund reserve to get available to appropriate. If you read from the top down, available to appropriate. And then there will be a budget request. This is the finalized budget request you're seeing in here. During the budget process, you're not going to see a finalized budget request. There will be budget requests sometimes over the amount available. The last couple years, we've had good years in revenue, so we've not really fought through it that much. We had a lot of years where the budget request was a lot more than the amount available, and you have to work through it and find out where you're going to make your cut. So those are the things to notice. This is using an estimated. The way that we work in my carryover works is I have amount on December 31st, but because there's period 13 spending, which you can, period 13 is allows you to spend out of last year's budget for the first 2 months of this year. We take the period 13 spending off of what was December 31st balance, and then that will give us an actual carryover. And we're going to have an amendment tonight that actually puts the actual carryover on this right here. And you'll see that, okay? And you'll also see the December 31st, what the period 13 expenses are, what the carryover is. You'll see what the estimated was and what the new is and what the differences are, okay? That should be all of the ordinance tonight. But that's pretty much, in a nutshell, and you can look through all the rest of them, and that is how we're going to do the revenue section. The revenue section is the section I typically work on in the budget season. The judge's office handles the expense side.
Justice Coates, one thing that I kind of look at when we're in the budget, now we're not in the budgeting process right now, but one thing that's interesting to look at, we can just look at that like health insurance projection on there. Mm-hmm. It's not as applicable to health insurance because that's kind of a different beast. But you have projected revenue and then you have our budget request. Well, the total available because of maybe a large amount of carryover, maybe I try to look at, can we, this is just my personal opinion, that's why I want to make sure I'm saying that. Are we budgeting, is our request more than our revenue? Because if it is more than our revenue, then you're bringing down that carryover.
Scott, can I'll speak on that just one
second.
And you'll hear me talk more about that when we get closer, okay? What I like to see is a budget really not more than 105% of our revenue projection, the actual revenue projection, not the carryover or anything of that matter. Now, if we have some one-time expenses, I believe a few years ago maybe we spent some money on new voting machines, or I think 1 year we spent on accounting general 911 upgrades. These are one-time expenses that you're not trying to carry forward year after year after year. So things like that are great things to be used to be over that 105, okay? But something that you're in your normal budgeting process or your normal expenditure, you really don't want to be over that 105. You can be a couple years spending more than you're making, but over a long period of time, it goes back to, and that's why we had to do budget cuts, because we had a number of years where we were spending more than we were revenue. And so then you have to come back and you have to do budget cuts, and budget cuts are tough. It's a lot easier to have the extra and then go back after the next year and, you know, raise it if you have to.
And there's a good story there with the severance taxes with the gas stuff. Isn't that why we got into that?
Well, it was a number of things. It was really the main part was increasing expenses without the increased revenue attached to it. And we'll get into a little bit of that when we get over to Apple Oil.
Is that where the 12% comes in?
Well, the 12% is just something that this court has always done. Ever since I've been here, I think 1 year we went to 10% because we were just trying to make it through without having to make as many cuts as we had to, knowing that the revenue was going to come the next year. But the 12% just gives you a 2% more cushion. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just a little bit more not
money,
spending.
If we do overspend,
That money's not going anywhere.
So we can't spend that.
You can't spend 10%. That 2% of the 12, you can, yes.
But
the 10, you can't.
Another extra thing that you do, you know, the 2% is an extra step that we take. Another extra step we take is, as you can see it in here, is that we appropriate an extra $1 million into the capital improvement fund every year. Those are, kind of those variables there.
And so I want to just go through our projections here, and I'm going to let y'all see that. You should have a funds transfer sheet on there, and it's right past your projection sheet. Okay, this really is just a summary of transfers that we projected out in the revenue section. This is just a, I guess it really is more of a resolution than anything, because we also have to have a court order in order to actually transfer those funds. Am I saying that right, Philip?
Yeah.
Okay. This is what the court say. The court's saying they won't transfer, but the actual transfer does not happen until we have a court order to actually move the money from one to another.
That's what they want.
This is what we're planning on doing, but this doesn't actually get done until we have a court order to match with it. And if you'll flip them to another page, this is going to be a recount of your appropriations by fund. How much is appropriate out of each fund? These are just kind of summaries of what you'll be looking at here in just a little bit. And then on past that, you'll have appropriations by department. And some of the older books may not have appropriations by fund or appropriations by department, but the new books do have that. And another thing that was added on in books here, in the last few years, is an expenditure code list. Does everybody have an expenditure code list in their book? It'll be just past your appropriations by department. Okay, that's great to look at and to see if you're wanting to know, hey, what you see that code somewhere and you don't know what it is, you can look and say, okay, that's what this code lined up. And all of these codes are coming out of that financial management guide. It's in the county financial management guide. So let's just turn to, and everybody should have this, it's your page one, it's county judge's budget, and that should be in everybody's book. Is everybody there?
Sure.
Okay. You're going to see at the very top right-hand corner, it's going to have your funds, dot, your department, it's going to say county, whatever department it is, this is county judge. Calendar year, then you're also going to see it fund 1,000, department 1,000 or 100, and it's going to have the total budget right there at the top. And that's 713,000. Y'all are probably around 700,000. It shows the last year's appropriation and the current year appropriation on the right-hand side, okay? Now, there's three different sections. You have all these different line items, but you really have three sections. Personal service, they have four here. Personal service, supplies, and if you flip with me, other services and charges, and capital outlay, okay? The quorum court has to approve any move within personal service from one line to another, okay? So if a department wants to move overtime over into salaries part-time, they have to come before the quorum court to do that. This is the only section that you have to go line to line to get approved by the quorum court. Any moves that you want that we make in the supply category can be moved. So if I want to move money from tires and tubes to parts and repairs, I can spend out of each of those without going to the quorum court for that. So now, if I were to move money from general supplies to engineering and architecture, right, you have to go to the quorum court for that. So those are decisions y'all make. But changes inside the commitment item do not have to go before the quorum court unless it's personal service. Have I confused anybody there?
Except we don't come for moving money within a category. We just let you spend in the negative as long as you have.
But as long as
they have the money in the category.
Yeah, categories are no moves there unless you're moving from category to category. So,
can you give me an example?
Okay, so like if I had $15,000 in parts and repairs, I'm in my deal, yeah, and I want to move that to postage,
mm-hmm,
I have to go to quorum court for that one. But if I have money in buildings and improvements but no money in postage, I can spend out of postage and not come to the quorum court for that. It's all under this commitment item. Now, however, if you want to spend some part-time money and you don't have it, but you have overtime money, you have to come to the quorum court for that. Okay? So anything that we need to do inside personal service has to go to the quorum court.
So when you say quorum court, you're not talking budget finance, you're talking...
Well, it'll go to budget finance first and then to the full court, yeah, yes. Anything that has to do with this book will go through budget finance first and then on to the full court. And I don't have an ordinance in front of me, but I'm sure y'all saw some ordinances last week. You'll see some ordinance that says a certain amount of money is anticipated projected into a certain fund with a certain revenue code, and then right underneath it you'll see that amount of money is appropriated to a certain fund or department.
Okay. Thank you, Phil.
So in section 1, if y'all have got 23-08 in front of you, we're looking at 23-08, and we're looking at section 1, and there is $443.03 anticipated projected in the juvenile court program fund 3412 revenue code series 8701. In order for them to put that on there, they have to go through the treasurer's office and get a receipt and get a revenue code. Okay, so that's money that we did not project in the budget that's coming into that fund that we had not previously anticipated projected. So it's going to raise that amount of the amount available to appropriate would actually raise right there. Okay. Now we're not going to re-show it in this book, but it does. And then they're coming back and spending that money, or appropriating. They're not actually spending it. They're appropriating that money to the juvenile court program fund 3412, same fund that it went into, department 04112, and then it's showing you where they're putting it. Some in food and some in other professional services. So anytime that you see that, that's typically a refund or a rebate or something like that. There's money coming back in that has to be rebudgeted in. Okay? If you see like section 2 there, $10,000 is transferred within county roads, you'll hear say something about new money sometimes. This is just money that's the budget's not changing, it's not increasing, it's not falling, it's just transferred within that fund. And as you can see, it moves from code 2002. To code 1018. So it's moving across those commitment items, and that's why it's coming up with this court. Okay? Same way with section 3. They're transferring some money within County Road from a 2000 fund, a 2000 expenditure code into a 1000 expenditure code. So once again, they're coming before you. If if they were spending 0202 small equipment as fuels and oils, 0207, they wouldn't have to come before this court. You see that? Okay. And then, it's not on here, but I'm going to say it. If Section 1 did not show the anticipated, projected, and a revenue series up there, it just showed the amount that was appropriated, that's what we consider new money to be appropriated or a growing budget. Okay?
Now
okay. In Section 1,
mm-hmm.
if that first part had not been, it didn't say 44303 anticipated projection, it just showed the bottom part. It just said 44303 is appropriated cabinet report system. That's a increase. We call that new money sometimes. That's new money being appropriated. That's money that was not appropriated before. And so that has increased that budget by $443.
We used to, it's not such a problem anymore, but we used to have to keep a really close eye on County General because that one year there was only like $200-something thousand in County General. So you had to keep a really close eye on it.
We got below the 12% one year and got into the 10% trying to get some stuff out. But that's kind of how those ordinances look, and that's things to look out for. And like I said, anytime that you see something transferred within a fund, you know, that's not new appropriation. The total appropriation stays the same. It's just transferring from commitment item to commitment item. Anytime you see anticipated projection, once again, budget's not changing any. That just by the way our system works, that money has to be reappropriated for the refund money because you can't get appropriation back when you get a refund. That's how you do get your appropriation back by doing that.
I have a question for you.
Absolutely.
And this could be more later tonight's question, mm-hmm. but when I saw this, I was thinking to myself, like, does it have to make sense? The codes kind of line up. What I mean is, like, you got this code 202 being county roads to 1018, which is time and a half, not overtime. So, like, does it matter that I don't know that doesn't make sense?
Okay, so let's talk about. Let's talk about what they're doing there, okay? So let's just flip over to the county road budget real quick. Okay, and I'm on page 87. Y'all are probably going to be somewhere close to that. It may not be the exact same page, but in county, in their budget, 202 is small equipment. And I don't know what it is in your budget, but what they're wanting to do with this ordinance so they're wanting to take $10,000 that's in small equipment and move it to 1018, which is just right there above it. It's time and a half, not overtime. So they're needing some more funds there that they don't need in the 202. So once again, they're jumping from one commitment section to another. They have to go through y'all to do that. What they're saying is they don't have enough money here. They have enough money there. They're not increasing their budget, but they got money that they're not using there to move over. Does that mm-hmm. help make sense? Okay.
I said, no, for title, it had to matter, and as long as they know.
Well, I mean, you're more than welcome to call these departments and ask them, hey, what are you doing? What are you trying to accomplish here? And any of that stuff. Personally, I don't know. You know, the only thing I know by just looking at this is they've got extra money in 202 that they need in 1018.
Gotcha.
And who it's for, what it's for, I have no idea. But I'm just looking at numbers here. But there's nothing specifically that has to, maybe I'm asking, I don't want to put words in your mouth at all. Are you saying that are some numbers supposed to be tied to other numbers?
No, just
that's
the work,
not true.
The categories, the codes.
Yeah.
Like it just didn't line up in my mind.
Right.
Maybe I'm just trying to make it make sense when
right.
they have to.
They're just moving money that would be in their supplies commitment item over into the personal service. And they have to give you, well, they give you the line item on both of them, mm-hmm. but they have to tell you on the personal service exactly where that's going to go.
On occasion, when there's numbers that skip, I'm just curious, why would they skip?
That's beyond me.
Okay.
No, I'm going to say there are different numbers that are in that financial management book that we don't use, and so that's why the skips, because these are staying consistent
okay.
from county to county.
Okay.
That would be my best guess without actually looking at it.
We don't all need the same line item numbers, so we just show in the book what we've asked for.
Okay.
here doesn't need the asphalt expenditure code. Yeah.
No. And honestly, guys, I don't work on the expenditure side very much. Very, very little. Margaret actually works on the expenditure side 10 to 20 times more than they handle expenditure side through the county clerk's office. I can report on it, and I can see what's happened, but they do all the work on it. I just report. Is everybody pretty good with the budget book? And kind of what you're looking at? Does that help you at all? Is there any other questions? I want to go through a couple more things here before we really get into our deal. This is a revenue report for County General. This is, I don't produce this for budget finance very often. If y'all want to start seeing it, we'll start seeing it. There's no need to see it every month, but to see it once a quarter or something might not be bad. I just kind of want you to see some overall numbers. There's a lot of stuff in there that will take a lot of explaining to do. But I just kind of will use this to go over our revenue codes and kind of what they are, okay? And there are other revenue codes that go into other funds, but we're not really going to go over those tonight. We'll give you those some other time if you need. But this is County General, where we get our money, essentially. We get it from state aid and County General Turnback, which is not necessarily a gift from the state, but actually is owed to us from the state, the stuff they collect for us. That's that. Property tax relief, I'm sure all of you know about the homestead tax credit. I believe it's $375 now. In my mind, property tax relief ought to be under a property tax because it's the refund that the state is giving us for allowing the taxpayer not to pay that. Okay, it's a sales tax that funds that property tax relief and then allows the deduction on the real tax side. That's really just a reimbursement for some current property tax. And in my mind, it ought to be a 7200 series, but leg audit does not agree with me. So it's a state aid. Real estate transfer tax that comes from deeds in our county. As you can see, it's been growing over the years. We anticipate 2023 to be down just a little bit. Okay. There was a state grant that's happened this year. It doesn't happen every year. It's just in 2022, it'll be down after that. General improvements, it's roughly $40,000 every year. And jail reimbursement. Jail reimbursement is going to be, and I think they've started doing jail reimbursement out of Fund 3407. When somebody, say, we pay for some medical for inmates, and then they have money, and somebody from the sheriff's office can correct me if I'm wrong here. If somebody needs medicine, we pay for it, but when they get money into their trust account, they reimburse us. And I think that's how that works. And
is there jail here?
I don't see jail here, but they can correct me where I'm wrong on that.
What happens if they don't get money?
Then it's on us. And once again, I'm going to let the jail speak on that because they know more about that, dude. I don't think you'll see jail reimbursement much longer in County General. I think they're doing all of that out of 3407 now. Federal aid, I typically don't project any revenue for federal aid. We get it sometimes we don't. You'll see on there reimbursement for OEM. We get some Bureau, what we call PILT, which is payment in lieu of tax for the little bit of federal ground that we have in our county. There's really not enough there to go very far. The majority of our revenue in County General comes from our ad valorem tax, 7,200 property tax. And as you can see there, under the total 7,200, we revenued $9,664,697.09 last year. This revenue we used, and I'll get down to the base of it here in a minute, but I think we revenued about $13 million. So $9 million of the $13 comes from our taxes. We heard me talk about the other day, our revenue wasn't staying up with our expenditures for about a 3 or 4 year period. That was because our ad valorem tax was only increasing about 1.8 to 2.1% a year, and our expenses were increasing over 3. And so that's when we got into a kind of a crunch. And I think I said at the time it wasn't a revenue problem, it was an expenditure problem, and that was the truth. Our expenditures were going up much faster than our revenues were. Our revenues were increasing, but they just weren't keeping up with our expenditures. And that's when we got. The next one down is 7400 series. This is a fines, forfeitures, and cost fund. This fund kind of it's kind of bounced around. It was down a little bit last year, but we revenue nearly $1 million, near $800,000 net. Investment income. This is going to be interest on the monies that we hold. I think we did $50,000 last year. That number, you're going to see 2023 probably triple that, and it may quadruple it. We're getting some good rates right now. Officer's fee is $7,600. This is a revenue that's been holding about $120,000-$125,000 for the last couple of years. It was more than that a few years ago, but it's kind of settled in now. We think at a pretty good rate. Jail fees is next. The main revenue here is prisoner care reimbursement for state housing prison inmates. It's really not a reimbursement. They're not repaying us for what it costs us. They're giving us a rate. It was $32, and I think it's now going to $40 a day, and it costs us about, I believe, close to double that to house our state inmates. But they call it reimbursement, but really, they're not really reimbursing us fully on that. Franchise fees, we have a little bit of franchise fee. It kind of comes and goes depending on if we've got a cable TV franchise in the county or not. It looks like it came back this last year. I'm not really sure what the company was. But then you'll see others, and it's the 8700 series. The big one there, a couple big ones on that line item is excess treasurer's commission and proceeds, excess proceeds from state land sales. There's also some juvenile intake and probation state reimbursement that's a pretty good click on that other series. And that's a couple things that probably need to be moved out into a different revenue series, but I can't convince Legon to do that just yet. As you can see, our total actual revenue is $13,560,862.52. That was up 4% over last year. If we can stay in that 3% and 4% increase every year, we're going to be great on revenue. And as you'll see, if you'll flip with me back to the back page, actually it's on page 2, you'll see that property tax collection was up 7.6. At the very top of the second page, you'll see that real estate tax was up 7.6%. And as you know, that being the big kicker, really, the big revenue of our county general, that's really what pushes our county general. We should see another about 6% in sales tax collection this year if all collections go as planned. We can plan that out by knowing what the county assessment goes up every year. And we know that already. That's in our budgeting. The last page that you're going to see there are the transfers. We discussed transfers earlier. The monies that have been transferred in to this for a total revenue with transfers of $14,156,54.20. This is a chart I look at every month. I look at where we are year to date, kind of how we're trending. I actually look at a month-to-month, year-to-year, month-to-month. Sometimes timing is an issue on this. You may get it this month, and next year you may get it a month later. So we take all that into effect in which we're looking at revenues, projecting revenues, seeing how we feel about revenues, that type of thing. Are there any questions on revenue report? I went a lot longer than I anticipated. I hope y'all got the questions in, and I'll keep going until the chairman says let's go on to regular business. But I apologize for taking. I get long-winded sometimes, but went over a lot of information fairly quickly. I'm gonna let all that stuff soak in. I think I said it before. You know, we go over this and we look at it, and you look at it again, and it brings up another question. And you know, I'm always available. You need me, holler.
I've got one thing. Can you talk? I don't know how briefly you can do this, or talk about what I'm going to call the journey of money and roles and responsibilities.
Okay.
From where it went.
Well, let's start with the big one, and I don't know that we're going to get through all of them today, but let's. The big one is taxation, right? Mm-hmm. Is ad valorem taxation, and that's your real property tax, your business property tax, and your personal property tax. So the first thing that we know is we don't pay our property tax for the prior year until October the 15th of this year. So in 2023, October 15th, our 2022 taxes are due. The assessor, and I could probably use some help here, the assessor assesses property and has a total assessment on December 31st, 2022. Okay. They turn those assessments over to the collector, and the collector gets her books out in March.
March 1st
of the next year. And those current tax books are open from March 1st to October 15th. Those are the collections. So as a treasurer, the two big collection months for me are May, which all of your escrows, I think our collector told me last week, and there she walks in, escrows are due to collect by
April 30th.
There you go. And so at the end of every month when they collect, they turn their money over to me by the 10th of next month. And that's when I show the revenue, and that's when I distribute. And then we distribute that tax money to taxing entities by the 15th of the month. Okay. So then the next big jump on taxation comes after September. So like late October, so they'll run one about mid-October, right after the 15th, and then they'll get another one the 1st of November, then we'll get one in December. And that's where, and you'll see the jumps on these revenue charts during those times.
So you can you talk about like how, I know you've said this a lot tonight, like I can talk to the revenue portion. The money, you look at revenue, then it goes to where does it, you know.
Okay, so if we're talking about taxation, then I distribute that taxation to county general, to county road, to county library, to schools, to cities, to fire districts, to whomever that money was taxed on. When it gets to their fund, that's when that money goes in. So let's just talk about county general. The county general money goes into that fund, and that's part of this revenue that you see right here on this deal. At that point, those departments in that fund have already had appropriation value that y'all set, and they can spend up to that appropriation. They also have to have the funding. So the funds have to be there and the appropriation. The appropriation is the ability to spend money. It's not actually spending money. No money's actually going out the door when you've appropriated something. You've given that department the ability to spend that money in the category or the line item, if it's personal service, is in your budget book, okay? The actual spending of it is then the department head will decide, I need 7 new pens. So they'll go out and buy 7 new pens. They'll get an invoice. That invoice then, and we're changing, Margaret, you're going to help me with this because we're changing the way this is going up. Essentially, it goes to the county judge, just says, yes, this is a viable expense.
Well, first they start with the county clerk's office,
like
and we determine that everything is legit that comes into us. If we validate it, then we, in the future, we're going to send it to Scott to say, yes, the money's there. Then it's going to go to the judge to say, yes, he agrees that it is a viable claim, and then it'll come back to the clerk. Will batch it and send it to the treasurer, and the treasurer will produce a check and then send out the check.
The central thing to remember is no matter what the process is, it's a three-tier system. The county judge, the county clerk, and the treasurer all have a job there. The judge says, yes, it's a viable claim, viable expense. The clerk says, yes, there's appropriation to spend that money on that item. And the treasurer says there are funds to do so. So it's a three-tiered approach. Margaret, would you agree with that?
I would agree.
Thank you. So that's how appropriated money is spent. You're going to see, you probably won't see it in your books because it's not appropriated, but you'll see, if you ever look at a report, you'll see some 6,000 funds. And those are funds that aren't money. Those are funds for Conway School and Conway City and Pine Valley Fire. And those monies don't need appropriations in order to be spent. Those are tax monies collected that aren't ours that are going to be distributed out without appropriation.
Hey, Scott, will you briefly explain the difference in 1805 and how we're funded a little bit by the school and the taxes?
Yeah, we went over that a while ago. I think let's hold that to another time. But, yes, we'll go over that a little bit later. But I think we probably went deep enough into that.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, sir? You said something I thought pretty notable, actually. You said about the medicine reimbursements about to jump to 3407.
That's fund 3407,
yeah.
Yes.
Is that criminal justice sales
tax? Criminal justice. And the reason that is because whatever fund that you spend that out of is where you reimburse that to.
So would that incorporate taxes going up, or?
No, it wouldn't have anything to do with taxes.
Okay.
Okay. So they would budget that in their budget in 3407 for and we can look into it. I don't know. We'd have to look into the book, but that's not going to change taxes. That's not going to change anything of that nature. Okay. That's just simply the repayment of expenses that we had paid. Reimbursement for that.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any?
I'm gonna go one more revenue on you. The biggest really single revenue that we received is sales tax. And you'll see a lot of in my reports, you see a lot of reporting on sales tax. And like we talked about before, that goes for fund 3402 and 3407. Okay. That's sales tax collections, and those are collected by DFNA. So if Tyler has a store and he collects revenue in October, he does his revenue collection in October, he sends it to DFNA in November, and DFNA sends it to us in December. Okay? So when we see these, and I show revenue numbers when we collect them, not when they were collected by the vendor. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So when I show a revenue in February, that's from December sales. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, there's a statute, and I'll defer to our county attorney what that statute is, that essentially says that if city does not have a sales tax, that they get to incorporate into our county sales tax. Mount Vernon, Enola, Twin Groves, Worcester, Holland,
yes,
and I think there's one more, but I can't remember. They incorporate into our sales tax. So what they do is take the county population as a whole and then prorate those city populations out of that. We get, of the sales tax that we revenue in, we get a 98-point-something% to us, and then the others prorate to those other real small cities. They don't take much of our tax. They don't take much of the tax. Their populations are really small. We have 125,000. Those cities have anywhere from 500 or less. So anyway, that's the process in which sales tax collections.
See, justices have any questions, including those out in the crowd, for Treasurer Sampson? All right. Like Scott said, any questions, I think he's free to meet with people one-on-one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And y'all have my phone number. I've got a new phone number. If you don't have it, let me give it to you. And I can't, it's so new, I can't even remember how to look it up. It's 501-764-8228. And that's for anybody in the room that wants my cell phone. They're welcome to that.
Perfect. All right. With that, we're going to roll on to kind of our regular order of business, starting out with our monthly financial report by Treasurer Scott Sampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
And maybe now this financial report will make a little more sense, everybody.
And I'm going to save this for the next few meetings, just so that everybody remembers. These are the reports that I've been doing for, some have been added, but for the most part for the last 8 years. If you want to see different reports or y'all want these reports tweaked in any way, let me know. We want to make this thing easy for y'all to understand.
Appreciate that.
So we'll start with summary of statements for Quorum Court, January 1st, 2023 through February 28, 23. County General funds 1,000, 3 million. $879,854.24. County Road Fund, $4,238,897.40. County Road Sales Tax, Fund 3402, $3,768,607.02. Animal Welfare and Control Fund 3404, $1,478,583.84. Criminal Justice Sales Tax, Fund 3407, $2,630,030.44. Coronavirus Relief Fund 1005, $1,042,686.42. American Rescue Plan Fund 3046, $23,192,167.59. That's what you'll hear typically me read, okay? Today, I want to, Mr. Sheriff, if you don't mind, I'm going to go through all of this so that everybody understands. This top part is a strict accounting section. The bottom part is going to be your appropriation. It's actually Margaret's section. I kind of put the numbers together, and I email Margaret to say, do you agree with this? And she says yes or no, and then I change it when she says no. But this bottom part is actually the clerk's section, okay? But across the top, the ending balance, which is what we ended with on February 28th, pretty simple. Revenues are the revenues collected in between January 1st, between the periods that we have there. Expenditures, pretty good self-evident. If we have money transferred in or transferred out, you're going to see it there when those transfers happen. And then you'll see treasurer's commissions. These are commissions that are charged against the revenues. Okay? Like I said before, 2% of all receipts get treasurer's commission. The exception is schools get 0.25%. Then on the very far is you'll always see the January 1st balance. That's the balance that we had January 1st.
Is there a place we can go and look at the expenses?
You can go on FI and look at them, and I presume that they have access to FI, our financial accounting system.
The new ones probably do not. Very few people are using it, so I have to shut them down if they don't use it, and I haven't opened. They're welcome to have it, but you're going to have to use it, or I have to shut you down.
How about you? I'll let you talk to Barbara.
If you want access where you can see reports, just send me an email. I'll get you set up, and I'll get you a password and everything to get in.
Okay. I may just call
you. But if y'all can do it once a month and stay active, that'd be great.
Okay. And I'm going to go over the bottom section because it's something I typically don't go over, okay, just so that you understand it. You're going to see the original budget there. That's the budget that was passed back in December, okay? And then you're going to see an amended budget. So anytime that we have an appropriation that amends the original budget, you'll see a difference. Okay, there has not been an amendment. If you look at coronavirus relief 1005, you see that there was an amendment in the new budget. Is $320,827.50. I believe y'all passed that last month. Is that correct, Mr. Chair?
I believe so.
Yes. Okay. So the new budget's always going to be the amended budget. The original budget is just what we started with. Okay? Expenses against that budget. So one thing I want you to notice here about expenses against the budget. Do you see that if you look at county general on the expenses against the budget, it's different than overall expenditures at the top? That's because some of those expenditures in this accounting system is expensed against last year's budget, what we call period 13. So those numbers most of the time are not going to match because of period 13 expenditures. Then you have a balance of unspent appropriation. You have the amount used of your appropriation. And then you see an estimated available to appropriate. And over on the very far side, you'll see amount not appropriated. So that was the amount they had the monies they had the ability to appropriate that they did not appropriate in original budgeting or through amendments. Okay? So you may hear somebody say something like, we need $100,000 extra appropriation. If it were one of these, I would look over here to see if there was $100,000 in that column. And you'll hear me say, yes, they have the money or they have the funds available to appropriate, or no, they don't have the funds available to appropriate that amount. Typically, you won't hear me say that because we've worked that out prior to.
I have a quick question on that. So after tonight, we have the updated carryover ordinance. Will these amount not appropriated
they will change.
Increase? Okay,
yes.
That's the question.
Well, some of them will increase, some of them will decrease. They will change. But because on my reporting, you're not going to see the adjustments for things that are not passed yet. Yes. Because those will not pass until quorum court next week, okay? And even when I report them in quorum court, they've not passed when I report them. They typically pass after. So you will not see any adjustments for things that you are doing that month, okay? This is previous month reporting. So sorry to take so long on that, but I think maybe it could help a little bit more when you're looking at it. The second chart is a county revenue chart. We looked at this last week, but since there was only one point of reference, there wasn't much to see there. You're going to see the 2023 in that kind of bright blue. We are I think we're about $150,000 below where we were last year. This is a timing issue. This is a revenue that last year was collected in February, but will be collected in March this year. We should see that to be right back up where it needs to be in March. I'm not concerned about that at all at this point. Third page is the what I call the running total of our sales tax. Sales tax collection for February was $1,318,157.41. That's up 3.13% above February 2022. Year to date, we're 1.72% over the 2022 totals. And you'll see the running total 23 versus 22 in your bottom left hand corner. Okay? And you'll see the month to month over to the right. The next page is another sales tax. This is kind of your yearly totals and kind of where we are to date and where we are versus our projected revenue. You'll see our projected revenue once again in the bottom left hand corner, $13 million. You'll see that we have collected $2,389,562.81 for the year, and that is 18% of our projected revenue. We've been through 16% of the year, so we're just a little bit above where we are, need to be projected. And the last page is a chart, and this is a chart Mr. Pickett helped me with years ago and kind of reminded me of averaging. And this is a 3 year or 3 month moving average versus a 1 year moving average. And the legend down there is really hard to see. The 1 year moving average is the red line. The 3 month moving average is the blue line. What we want to see is the blue line, the 3 month moving average, ahead of the 1 year moving average, and the 1 year moving average trending up. When we get the blue line below the red line and the red line trending down, that is an indicator that we may be falling a little bit in our revenue. We've only really had one bad year of sales tax revenue, and that was and it's even off our chart now. I believe it was 2016 was the only negative year of sales tax revenue we ever had. We've had three just bang up years of sales tax growth. We know we cannot continue at that rate. We're hoping just to be flat, not be down. We projected just a little bit down from last year. I think we did 13.2 million last year. I projected 13 this year just to be safe. We know we cannot continue this 18% growth that we've really had over the last 3 years. But a good steady 3 to 5% growth would be fabulous. But right now, for this year, we are projecting no growth. We're just hoping to stay constant. So that is my monthly report, my monthly package. You want to see it every month. Like I said, if you want to see something different, you want to see more, want to see less, y'all let me know. We're a little bit more in depth in budget and finance than we will be in Cornport. When I get to Cornport, I'll run through them pretty quickly, and if somebody has questions, they can pick me up. But we want to be able to discuss these numbers. Anything that y'all want to ask them, I can discuss.
Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Perfect. Thank you, Treasurer. All right. Let's see here. We will roll on to new business. I'll accept a motion for 23-08.
Make a motion to put 2308 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right. We've got a motion and a second. I'll give y'all just a second here to look at proposed ordinance 23-08. I would like to ask... I don't know if it's directed towards maybe Margaret or someone from the judge's office. Can you explain, this is the first time we've seen this year, the time and a half, not overtime line item?
Mr. Chairman, I'll be glad to explain that, if it's all right.
Thank you, sir.
We put time and a half, not overtime, into the budgets when we passed the ordinance that allowed departments to declare emergencies. And that was intended to be able to incentivize, if you will, people to come out and work when they didn't otherwise have to. And so this year in the road department, we've had a couple, actually three weather-related events where we had to call people out, which exceeded our estimate. And like the treasurer said earlier, we have other monies that we may not need until later on, if at all. So we moved the monies from another category up to this time and a half line item to be prepared for future events.
Perfect. Any more discussion on the proposed ordinance 23-08? All right. We have a motion for consideration of proposed ordinance 23-08. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. It has passed the full court. I'll accept the motion for the next ordinance.
Make a motion to put ordinance 23-09 on the table.
Second.
All right. We've got a motion and a second. Based off of Treasurer Sanson's wonderful presentation that we sat through and learned a lot from, I'll defer to him first if he has any special comments on this.
There's no real, nothing big in here. I mean, you can pretty much see what it is. I did want to mention a few things, a couple things, I guess. Fund 1007 was not in the budget book and will be added into the budget book. And Fund 3523.
Can you talk about 1007?
1007 is Local Assistance and Tribal Consistency Fund. This is, you're going to get me talking a little bit over my head, and I think we'll probably get into the county attorney for this. This is more federal money. It's part of the ARP that I think we've got $50,000 this time. I think we'll get kind of like we got into two strides for the $24 million. I think we'll get another $50 next year, but I'm not positive on that. It came late and when we got it, and the budget had already been in process, and I just didn't think to put it in there. So that was on me, not catching that. This is, like I said, a 1,000 fund. I believe it can be, once again, I'm going to defer to the county attorney on this, but I think it can be spent pretty much however you want. There's not as much tied to it like the 3047. And then First Division got some grant money at the end of last year that wasn't, I think they got at the end of last year, but once again, I that's just another fund I missed when I put the revenue section together.
So, if you don't mind, so 2007, is that going to be within the county general fund of the code?
Philip, would you like to speak on how you can and can't spend that?
I don't. Nope is the answer.
Okay.
So this is.
How about I'll have an answer next week.
ARP
next week.
Part 3, essentially.
Yeah. Okay.
So, it is federal money that has been distributed to almost every county. I think the minimum was 50,000. Counties that had large tribal populations received much more. I really don't know much about
this. I'm sorry to interrupt, though. This is somewhat tied to your TILT money, or your TILT money, which is property owner tax. This is money if you have any federal lands in your county, which we have a little bit, you know, Camp Robinson, essentially. Counties out west that have the national forest in it, they got large amounts of money. So that, tribal, and like I said, some federal lands that Ozark National Forest, pretty much if you go here and just go due west, Pike County, Polk County, I think Yale County got a pretty good deal. I think Perry County got a pretty good bit. But they get a lot of TILT money. And that's why I'm saying it's tied to that, because the people that get a lot of TILT money got a lot of this problems. And like I said, 50,000 I think was the least that you could get. I think every county got at least 50.
So would it be wise for us to find out exactly what the strings are with this before we appropriate it?
Yeah, and once again, this is a 1007 fund number was set by leg audit. Once again, those 1,000 funds, there's not a whole lot of strings attached to anything. So I think you can spend it how you wish.
And at this point, there's no budget for it. This is just putting the money into his fund. It's not. There's no appropriation for a budget here on that.
We're just adding those carryover numbers so that they're in the budget with what they need to be. I told you that the differences in the projected and the actual are going to be on this amendment. They're actually not. I have those numbers if you want to see them. It's not going to make a whole lot of difference this way or that, but if you want to see them, I've got them. But it has the actual mini carryover numbers for you there.
So I'm looking at, I'm just going to look at off the top here, County Road 2000. That's So in our projections in our 2023 budget, which like you said, you do those projections in October, and you're looking back, trying to project, well, what are they going to spend in the last 3 months, plus period 13 maybe, revenue, all that stuff. So this projection shows an estimated fund balance in the budget book, estimated fund balance of $1,930,000 estimate, because that was a flat number.
Well, yeah, mine and for 22, this is 22. I don't know what they had for 23 because I'm not looking at my, I don't have a 23 book in front of me. Now, I tell people the hardest thing about budgeting is trying to figure out that variable. I can project revenue. I can get fairly close, you know. But trying to figure out that revenue, there's a lot of moving parts at the end of the year. Don't know what people are going to spend as the year comes to an end, if they're going to try to spend it out or if they're kind of done. A lot of times I'll call, I didn't this year, different department heads and find out, especially the bigger funds, the funds that kind of general things, find out what they're going to spend. I've got a pretty good idea, but a lot of different things kind of come in there. You know, if you remember back in October, I was saying, I'm nervous about this tax collection, because remember our tax collection numbers were down in October, going into November, but the waivers came in great. But at that time, I didn't think those revenues were going to come through. This is in county general. And so my numbers, and they'll be across the board, anything that got taxation, were going to be down. I think I missed county general by about $600,000. But on the good side, it's better than not. I don't like to miss like that. But if we won't miss, I want to be on that side of it.
That's it.
And that's kind of the thing in all of this stuff that we do. We project really conservatively because we don't want to be on the downside.
Yes. And I think that's worth just calling out to see where we see that.
Sometimes I want to say this just briefly is, and County Road does it a lot of times for me, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes, you know, I'll get word from that department telling me what they think the carryover will be. And if you, like, County Road in 22 had $2 million carryover, I'm sure that's a number I got from them. I doubt that I come up with a number that clean. My numbers are usually kind of have a bunch of cents and stuff on them. So
so just to follow through on that, like I said, on the projections for when we did the budget for this year, the projection was that they would have the fund balance as of January 1st of 2023 would be $1.93 million.
Is that County Road?
That's County Road.
Yeah.
And then we can see here that the fund balance on December 31st of 2022 was $4
million.
Yeah. So you follow that over. Yeah. Basically, we ended up with an extra carryover of about $2 million. And I'll say that's important because usually later on in the year, we'll see where County Road is requesting an extra $2 million to be added to your budget. And you think, where did an extra $2 million come from? A lot of times it's that carryover.
And here, I want to say this real quickly, and you'll really see it in Fund 3046, is Mr. Chair, you can look and see what the carryover amount is. So if somebody has a large amount of appropriation that they have not spent when I'm doing my budgeting, that shows that spent. I consider that spent money, okay, because they have the ability to spend that much before the end of the year. And you're going to see that in 3046, is there was a ton of appropriation out there, not a lot of it was spent, but I had to show it as spent in the carryover. Now, as you'll know, we're going to carry over about $23 million in that. 3046 is going to carry over $23.2 million, and I'm going to say I should probably show the carryover at what, $5 million? I don't know off the top of my head, but it was not near 23, I can tell you that. So, those are some of the things that come into play there. And a lot of times, I'll talk to especially big department heads, say, how much more of this are you going to spend for the end of the year? And they'll tell me, I can get a better estimate, stuff like that.
Any more discussion or questions on proposed ordinance 23-09? All right. All in favor of passage, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Ordinance 23-09 is passed on to the full court. I'll accept a motion for ordinance 23-10.
Make a motion to put 23-10 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right. We've got a motion and a second. Mr. Anderson, Since you are our duly appointed ARP person, would you like to walk us through a little bit of this ordinance here?
I'll be glad to, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir.
When the ARP money is appropriated, the people that was appropriated for have until 2026, December 31st, to spend it. So every year during budgeting season, it will probably go like it did last season, where I looked at and saw what they had spent from their appropriation. What was left is what I requested the new appropriation be for the following year, which would be 23. However, as y'all know, there's a period 12 and 13th, the 12th month, and then after the first of the year. So after that number was submitted and passed, they spent money at the end of the year. So what I've done is I've reduced their 23 in this request appropriation by the amount they spent in December in period 13, so that we don't exceed what their original appropriation was. And that should will probably happen every year until a person spends all their ARP money.
So this is not new money for them. This is just some accounting magic.
That's it. I wouldn't call it magic. We just want to make sure they don't overspend what we originally appropriated.
Yes, sir.
We're reducing the appropriation from what was approved at the end of the year. We're reducing the 23 appropriation by the amount they spent at the end of 22.
Okay. So anybody have any questions? All right. Seeing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you, Mr. Anderson. 23-10 has passed on to the full court. Is there any announcements for Budget and Finance Committee? Thank y'all for sticking around a while. Thank y'all for listening to us while we did our training and everything. I know I got something out of it, even though it's my third term. I hope our new JP's got some good stuff out of it as well. All right, I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We're adjourned.